the person is related to the good. A person, you understand what I mean? So it looks similar, but it's two different things. Where a person does an act of exchange, then you see he has no value whatsoever for Torah. But where a person is motivated, by the honor that the Chacham receives, doesn't mean that he's not subordinating the Torah. It's just he's attracted by that quality that the Talmud Chacham has. The person that's low and small doesn't necessarily stop the moment he attains the Torah. He still engages in it. He still recognizes the value. He would never degrade it openly. Never degrade the Torah and use it as a means. But his main satisfaction that he attains from the being a Talmud Chacham is the fact that people respect him. It's an indirect kind of a thing. It's a psychological difference. You know what I mean? You can't look here for a halachic differentiation. It's a psychological differentiation because it depends upon how the person is attracted to the level of attraction to Torah and what the value is. The motivation is not the good itself, the good of Torah itself. See? By lo lishma, the motivation is not the good of Torah itself. By lo lishma, the motivation is the effect. That's the motivation. That's what he's attracted to. He's attracted to the effect. He's not attracted to the good per se. In Kinnas Sofim, he's attracted to the good. The only thing is, he's attracted to the good, but the primary motivation is the other person's involvement. That's what moves him. That's what goes into action. The other person's involvement. Why is this other guy getting this good and not me? But it's not because of the effect. If there was no covet at all for Torah, he would still have the same phenomenon of Kinnas Sofim. If people didn't respect Torah at all, without the phenomenon of respect. The one idea that I think goes through the entire Rabbeinu Yonah, which I think is an important one. You see, let's say, for instance, like the kinah, how does he gauge it? How does he gauge this? It's an interesting thing. So, yes, he says, in the first case, he says, Ach achashen eno holech b'derechahi, lo chofetz gam b'chavero sheyelech bo, ki im l'fi ritzono.
In other words, the second case
where he doesn't want his friend to learn because he doesn't want to have somebody better than him. He says, "Gam zeyik rasone Hashem." Why? He ain't owes to Maisei Hashem. Interesting thing. He ain't owes to Maisei Hashem. Why do you have to say that for? Why don't you just say he's considered rasone Hashem because he hates? He doesn't want his friend to learn. What could be worse than that? Man doesn't want his friend to learn. Imagine the worst person on this. I mean, he's an evil person. But the Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't say that. Rabbeinu Yonah says, he ain't osa maisei Hashem. Then he says, but it's not as bad as the first one. Because the first one distorts the whole system itself, you see. In the Derech Tovon Kino, he says, it's good. It's very good. It's good because he says, Gamu chofetz l'chmosom, ne'a kina marbal chokmosom, v'toreach u'mosif lasos tovavo l'aleches b'derech yishara. Okay? What is the underlying thing? Even though he's jealous, he's an envious person. The point is like this. This is a very important point that Rabbeinu Yonah is mentioning. It has to do with our whole philosophy of midos, really. The whole philosophy of midos, which is like this. That there are people, the average person, if he sees somebody's envious, so immediately he will say, this person is an envious person. It's terrible. He's a jealous person. He's a jealous person. No good. We don't look at jealousy per se as being an evil. We have a barometer. The barometer is what leads a person to the good. That's the only barometer. In other words, the barometer is in terms of what leads a person to the good. But a mida per se that we dislike, that's just an emotional bias against a certain mida. If kinnah would really bring a person to a highest level, then we'd embrace kinnah. We'd say it's wonderful. You understand what I mean? It's not that we hate envy per se. It's a natural inclination for people to hate somebody that's envy. He's an envious person. I don't like him. That's not the system of yadah. The system of yadah is we take a look at every mida objectively and we see there's a goal that a person is supposed to reach, which is the goal of being involved totally in Chachmas Hashem and appreciation of God's Chachmah. That's the highest level of existence. And we take a look at every need and we gauge it against how it's going to bring the person to that end goal. If it's good, so then we embrace it. If it's no good, we throw it away. But it's not because we dislike the need per se.
That's why Rabbeinu Yonah says, as a matter of fact, the Kinasel from the Tar B'Chachma, Rabbeinu Yonah says it's a wonderful thing. He says not the highest level, because it means that the person, not all the person's energies are involved in appreciation of the good. Because one part of them is involved in appreciation of the social good, not the ultimate good. You follow what I mean? But per se, kina per se is not a bad thing. You see, the whole outlook and the whole approach of Yadus towards Midos is a completely different approach than the rest of the world. Because the rest of the world takes certain traits, and they take certain traits which they dislike, and they brand them to be evil, and anyone that partakes of that trait they dislike and they consider an evil person. That's not the system of Yadus. The system of Yadus is completely different. Because the other way doesn't make any sense. The system of Yadus makes sense. Now, what is a good Midah? Well, we have to know what the goal of a person's life is. To say most people in life have no goal whatsoever, but they still hate a person that's envious. Why? I don't know. They just don't like the person that's envious. You see? But in Yadus, we take a look rationally and see what is the goal of a person of human existence. Now, anything which leads to that goal is a good thing. Anything which takes a person away from that goal is no good. Not a question of whether we like envy, we dislike envy. You say this person is terrible because he's envious. No, on the contrary. In Yadus, you see, from the Rabbeinu Yonah, at the end of the Rabbeinu Yonah, you would say this person's a terrible person because he's not envious. He's not envious. Look, he sees another, he sees his friend sitting and learning, and he has no envy to try to be like this, like his friend. He has a bad midah. He has a very bad midah. He has no envy whatsoever. You see? So on the contrary, envy every midah, and over here it's expressed in terms of envy, is measured in terms of whether this is going to help you achieve the ultimate perfection, not whether you dislike this midah or you like this midah. You have to look at it rationally. What is it going to do in terms of bringing a person towards his end goal? You see, that's the philosophy of the others. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah says. He says, why is the second person no good? He ain't no semai sashem. That's why he's no good. Not he's no good because he hates the fact that his friend, an average person will say, well, what kind of an individual is this? He walks into the yeshiva and sees his friend learning. It kills him because this guy's learning and he's not learning. It is a mean, vicious person. You see? So you dislike him. No. Or Rabbeinu Yonah says, what's so bad about that? Is ain't no most of my session. This midah is not getting him anywhere any closer towards the goal of his existence. So that's why he's considered Sonei Hashem. It means that he's not involved in any activity which is going to bring him closer to God. So that's Sonei Hashem. Sonei Hashem means, what does Sonei Hashem mean? Sonei Hashem means a person that is not moving towards God. That's Sonei Hashem. Now this man, he walks into Beis Medrash, sees his friends learning, it eats him up, and he doesn't do anything about it. So that's Sonei Hashem. It means he's not moving in any direction towards God. But a person that walks into the Beis Medrash and sees his friend learning, and he's envious, and he sits down and learns also, so then on the contrary. So then it's a very good midah. That's a very good midah. Not the highest, but it's a good midah. Yes. Gaivan Kaz, a person should be misrachic completely. And Gaivan Kaz is not because the Rambam hated Gaivan Kaz more than he despised Kina. I mean, most people's values in life are just based upon their emotional reaction to these things. They dislike a guy that's haughty. They dislike a guy that's envious. That type of a thing is completely irrational. That's not any kind of philosophy. That's not any kind of philosophy. You understand? That's dumb emotion. The reason why the Rambam says that Gaivan Kaz, a person should be misrachik from, is not because he dislikes Gaivan Kaz more than the other midos. More than aggression or other midos. No, the reason is, as a matter of fact, one of the most despicable midos is sadism. To be sadistic is a despicable midos. And Chazal don't even consider it a terrible thing. The Gemara says that David HaMelech had that midah, and therefore he went out with Mochanas Hershus. So, you see, in Chazal say, a person who has that midah should become a sheikhet. Should become a sheikhet. So you see that Chazal, and that's something which people really hate, a vicious person, that's the worst thing. So you see that the midos, of the way Chazal looked at the midah, is not in terms of whether we dislike them or we don't dislike them. Just how they can be used to reach the perfected state. A person can be a sheikhet, they use it to reach the perfected state. Fine. Nothing wrong with it. So, in terms of Gaivan Kaz, the reason why the Rambam said that is because the whole purpose of human existence is to be in the framework of recognition of reality. If there's no recognition of reality, then there's no purpose of existence. And there are two emotions which remove a person from reality. One is Gaiva, the overestimation of the self, where he has a completely distorted view of his position in the universe, you see, and where he wants to change everything to conform to his ego, his egocentricity, his egocentric. You see, that's the worst distortion. And the second one is chaos. Because in chaos, and what is chaos? Chaos is where a person gets angry because reality is not going along with his emotions. So the anger is an anger to change reality. So both of those midos, gaiva and chaos, are basically midos which remove a person from an acceptance of an external reality. Gaiva doesn't let him accept an external reality because he wants reality to be the way he is. And chaos is a direct... What is chaos? Chaos means you're angry because things aren't going your way, so you get angry. So those two midos remove a person from reality more than anything else. And that's why those two midos, you can't put that down. Right. Rachmanis is always something that's considered a wonderful mida, and you know at Chazal held that the Rachmanis can be the most destructive thing. Yeah. Shaul, that's right. Shaul is called Maracham Alazos, Sefanas Alazos Rachmanis. Shaul's Rachmanis. And Ramban says, in Vorum, he says that the, I think it's Shoftim, he says the Rachmanis of the Shoftim, the Losochos Einecha, not to have Rachmanis on a Russia, when he's Chayav Nisa. Ramban says that the Rachmanis of the Shoftim destroys the world. Because they have Rachmanis on the criminals, and therefore the innocent people are destroyed. That's what he says. Why does he mention this? The reason he mentions this is because what is the memory going on? It was a kapa omer, ashkina v'taiva v'kovod matzim esodem in olam. Right? Now, what is Rabbeinu Yonah explaining? See, what's the subject matter of Rabbeinu Yonah? What's the subject matter? The subject matter of Rabbeinu Yonah is kina. Kina, because the mimer says that the kina is motzi esodem in olam. Right? So now, Rabbeinu Yonah is showing you like this. Kina basically, what is kina? Kina really is the extent to which a person is tied to the social reality. It means that his whole reality is based on the social. What's this guy doing? What's that guy's status? The social status. So that's something which a person learns at a very young age. You know, when he's a child, he sees his siblings, he sees other children. And he learns that the important thing is what is the what status does he have vis-a-vis the adult? What status does he have? So therefore, his whole world is measured by the social status. Now, what Rabbeinu Yonah wants to show you is that this phenomena of kina can either relate to the idealistic world, or else it can relate to the material world. There's two possible expressions of kina. Okay, so he shows you every possible level of kinna with regard to every area. And basically there are two areas. There's the area of the material world, and then there's the area of the idealistic world. Okay? Again, like this. The three levels with regard to the material world are like this. In the first level, where he doesn't want other people to have any wealth, so that is the worst possible expression of kinna. Why? Because what is he doing? He's distorting the true... There is a true value with regard to the material world as well. There's a value of tikkun olam. Tikkun olam is an objective value. You see, Chazal say a person not asking tikkun olam, so he's postulated. So tikkun olam is an objective value. Well, I mentioned once, that's what the Torah has with the Bnei Yishmael and the whole thing, that the God told Avram that Yishmael would be a great nation, and the Torah lists all the different, you know... the ones that came from Yishmael and the Alufim and by Esav, all these different things. Why did I mention this? Tikkun Olam. Tikkun Olam is an Indian per se. Tikkun Olam. So Tikkun Olam is a good. Now over here, the person, because of the social phenomena, he distorts a true value, which is Tikkun Olam. That's similar to the distortion of the of Chachma. Similar to the Soni Yisra Chachma. He distorts a value. In the second case, he doesn't really distort the value. The second case, his whole motivation is based upon the social. In other words, his entire motivation is based upon the social. Now that, he says, is worse than if a person wants the wealth per se. Desire is the wealth per se.
Okay?
It's an interesting, yeah, that's right. Now the question is, the case where desire is the wealth per se, why is that kin altogether? Right? Why is that kin altogether? It's not kin altogether. Right? So this is what the remember said. So the answer like this. The answer is, because in the case, you see, what you're saying is true. When a person wants wealth, that itself is kin. Because why does he want the wealth? It doesn't mean he wants to have it to satisfy his needs. That's not a person's desire for wealth. Satisfy his needs is different. But it means that he wants the wealth in order to achieve the kavod and abstract, right? So that means the subject matter is the entity is an entity of kinna. In other words, it's not kinna on a direct level. There's kinna on a personal level between one person and another, and then there's kinna which is a sublimated kind of kinna. He wants that institution which gives him, the institution gives him the satisfaction that kinna is looking for. You understand what I mean? In other words, the institution of wealth per se will give him the satisfaction of that a person obtains from kinna. It's like a sublimated universal kind of kinna. Whereas the second case is kinna on a personal level, where he has kinna against this particular person. This person's wealthy, so I want to be wealthy too. So there he's acting it out on a personal level. Whereas where he wants the wealth, he's away from the personal, but he just wants the wealth. But in the back of his mind, what is the wealth? The wealth is to achieve a certain social status. So that's also kinna. So it's a very interesting thing that Rabbeinu Yonah classified the last person as being involved in kinna, even though he's not mekana anybody. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing insight psychologically. You know what I mean? You see what he's saying? He says the last case is not because he cares about it. He says, he says he doesn't care. What does it mean, kinna bo'eres? Kinna bo'eres means where it's expressed on a one-to-one basis. That's where he's closer to the very institution of kinna. You see? But the third case, he's far removed from the institution because he just wants wealth. Wealth is a sublimated kind of satisfaction that the person as a mekane seeks. It's based upon kinna, but it's not really acting out kinna per se on a one-to-one level. He says that person does not have a kinna boeris. Okay, so now I ask the question, so what do I care? Since it's all with regard to the material world, so who cares? We just said before, we don't care about amida. We don't care about amida per se. So if amida per se is we don't like it, that doesn't mean it's bad. So what's the difference? You're talking about the material world. What's the difference? Who cares? Right? So that's what Rabbeinu Yonah ends up very nicely. So like this, he says, "Shlomo Hamelach, Olav Hashalom, Kol Alachol Eila Advan VaOma, Al Yikane Libcho BaChatoyim Ki Im BeYiras Hashem Kol Hayom." What is he bringing this in for? It's interesting. Pireish Tchilo Hakino HaRosh Lo Yikane BarShonim BaOsi Averos Lasos Kimosom VaHakach Kol. That's the Kino HaRosh. VaHakach Kol VaOma Ki Im BeYiras Hashem. Kol Hakinas LeMeiro Levad Kinas Ayira. So what's Rabbeinu Yonah say? So Rabbeinu Yonah says like this, that all the kinos that a person has are really driving his energies away from, are all evil. Why are they evil? They're evil because they're driving his energies away from the involvement in the good. You see? So that's why he classifies the kino with regard to the material world on three levels. The first level is where the total distortion. That's he hates the Brias. He's against Tikkun Olam. That's a total distortion of his value. That means so it's from two levels. First of all, it's the distortion of his values, and secondly, there's two aspects. We have to analyze kinna on two planes. First of all, insofar as it corrupts his value system, takes him away from reality. That's the first way to measure. Secondly, we have to measure it in terms of his energies. Where is this driving his energies? Closer to God or further away? That's why. So the first one is where, with regard to the material, where he wants to destroy other people. He doesn't want them to have money. He doesn't want them to be wealthy. So this is a person that has distorted values. Now the second guy, he's happy the other guy has, but he wants to have as much or more. So it's not a distortion of values because he's not against Tikkun Olam. Right? But he is still worse than the next guy who wants wealth. It's also kinna, but it's sublimated kinna, not direct kinna. Why is it? Why? Because he says, The second one, in other words, has a kinna bo'eris. The last one doesn't have a kinna bo'eris. So what does that mean? That's what Shlomo Melech said. That involvement in all these things are no good because he in b'yiras Hashem kol hayom.
Why? Because it removes his energies from the opportunity of being involved in the good. So therefore, that's what it means. Kinos motzias adam in olam. What does it mean? It's motzias adam in olam. It means that it takes a very heavy toll on a person's energies. That's what it means. Motzias adam in olam. It takes a very. It's not a midah which a person can tolerate or can exist in moderation. Kinos is something that it grabs the person. You see, and it becomes his preoccupation. So that's why you see that people. That's why it's Motzias Adam in Olam, because people are going to be involved in it to a very great degree. But of course, there's different qualities of the degree. There's a kin of Boeris, which is much worse and involves into the greatest degree. And then the last one, the sublimated one, is not as bad as the previous one in terms of how much energy it takes, because it's not a kin of Boeris. But still, it's a preoccupation. He's still going to be preoccupied with becoming wealthy because the kin is behind it. Kino is a midah which a person can't take in moderation. It consumes him. So that's why it says, he says, Al tekane bo se avla, kiim, I can't say, kiim b'yesh Hashem kol hayom. What does it mean, kiyesh Hashem kol hayom? Kol hayom means that for yesh Hashem you require that a person whose energy should be free all the time. And this midah will never allow him to be free. So therefore, this midah is removing him is when he's tied to the material, you see, he's going to be removed from any opportunity of having his energies involved in the Derech Hashem, which is consistent with the whole Rabbeinu Yonah, that the only way we analyze the Midah is in terms of what? In terms of, does it bring you closer to knowledge of our Kadosh Baruch Hu, or does it not? That's the only way to analyze. And it works on two planes. There's a plane of kino, how it expresses itself with regard to the ideological and with regard to the material, and how each one stands in terms of two, and it has to be analyzed in two frameworks. One, the framework of corruption of value system and knowledge. That's the person who someone has a chachamim or is against tikkun olam. And the second level is the second criterion that we use is how it stands in relationship to how much energy he has directed towards the good. So that's why in the first case, when you're dealing with the ideological, so in one case it's beneficialism. It's beneficial in one case. Where is mekane chachamim and it leads him to learn Torah, so it's beneficial, becomes an advantage. But in the material, it's always a disadvantage. It's always, because inherently it's going to drag him away from the good. That's the Rabbeinu Yonah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.